Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, American Empire, The Rise of a Global Power, The Democratic Revolution at Home, 1945-2000 is Joshua B. Freeman's single volume history of the United States in the second half of the 20th century. Part of the Penguin History of the United States series. The book examines how post-war America became both a global superpower and a society transformed by domestic conflict and reform. Freeman organizes the narrative around major forces such as the military-industrial complex, the civil rights movement, and Reaganism, using them to explain how foreign policy, economic change, and social movements interacted. The result is not a conventional chronological survey alone, but an interpretive account of how power abroad and democratic change at home developed together. The book covers the Cold War, McCarthyism, Vietnam, the Great Society, and the conservative turn of the late 20th century, while emphasizing the scale of American dominance after World War II and the tensions created by that dominance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, post-war prosperity became the foundation of American global dominance. Freeman begins from the premise that World War II left the United States in an unusually powerful economic position. The country emerged with industrial capacity, financial strength, and military reach that no other nation could match. And this material advantage helped turn the United States from a more regionally defined society into a uniform national power. The book uses that transformation to explain why the post-war era mattered so much. American influence was not simply a matter of diplomacy or ideology, but of unmatched productive scale. This economic and strategic setting shaped nearly every later development, from Cold War policy to domestic reform. By treating prosperity as a structural condition rather than a background detail, Freeman shows how the post-war order made both expansion abroad and change at home possible. The argument also implies that American global leadership was never separate from internal social organization. The same institutions that fueled growth also created new forms of inequality, political conflict, and pressure for reform. Secondly, the military-industrial complex linked warfare, politics, and everyday life. One of the book's central themes is the merging of military power with political and economic life in the Cold War era. Freeman uses the military-industrial complex as more than a slogan. It is a mechanism for understanding how permanent mobilization influenced budgets, industry, foreign commitments, and public debate. In his account, the distinction between peace and war became increasingly blurred after 1945, especially as military readiness, overseas intervention, and defense production became normal features of national life. This matters because it helps explain why American politics in the post-war era often revolved around security language, strategic competition, and the justification of large federal power. The book suggests that this system did not merely shape foreign policy. It also affected domestic priorities, channeling resources and rhetoric toward national defense while changing the role of the state. Freeman's treatment of this subject gives the reader a framework for understanding how America could be simultaneously democratic at home and imperial in practice. Thirdly, civil rights and social protest expanded the meaning of American democracy. Freeman places the civil rights movement at the center of the post-war story because it exposed the gap between democratic ideals and lived reality. The movement was not just one reform campaign among many. It forced the nation to confront racial inequality, political exclusion, and the limits of post-war liberalism. By tracing the rise of civil rights activism alongside broader social change, the book shows how grassroots pressure reshaped law, institutions, and public expectations. This theme also broadens the meaning of democracy in the book. Freeman does not present democratic development as a smooth march toward progress, but as a contested process in which minorities, workers, activists, and reformers challenged established power. The Great Society and other federal reforms appear in this context as responses to social demands as much as top-down policy initiatives. The result is a history in which the democratic revolution at home is inseparable from conflict, negotiation, and the persistent effort to make the nation more inclusive. Fourthly, McCarthyism, Vietnam, and the limits of liberal power reveal the cost of Cold War America. The book gives substantial attention to moments when the post-war consensus broke down, especially McCarthyism and Vietnam. These episodes show how fear, ideology, and geopolitical competition could distort political judgment and narrow public debate. McCarthyism illustrates the domestic pressures generated by anti-communism, while Vietnam exposes the consequences of treating global power as both moral duty and strategic necessity. Freeman presents these crises as revealing the strain within American liberalism. A state that expanded to fight poverty and promote equality could also wage war and police dissent. That tension is important to the book's overall interpretation because it prevents the narrative from becoming a simple celebration of progress. Instead, Freeman portrays the post-war state as capable of genuine reform, yet deeply compromised by the logic of empire and containment. These chapters help explain why American confidence weakened in the 1960s and 1970s, and why public trust in government became more fragile. Lastly, Reaganism and the conservative turn redefined the post-war settlement. Freeman treats Reaganism as the major political and ideological reordering of the late 20th century. Rather than viewing the 1980s as a clean break from earlier history, he shows how conservative politics emerged from dissatisfaction with inflation, social unrest, governmental expansion, and perceived decline in national confidence. Reaganism in this account is not only about electoral politics. It is about a broader shift in how Americans thought about markets, the state, patriotism, and national purpose. The phrase "morning in America" captures the optimistic language of renewal, but Freeman places that optimism against the deeper changes produced by deindustrialization, cultural conflict, and the weakening of the New Deal order. This makes the conservative turn more than a partisan realignment. It becomes the late-stage outcome of pressures that had been building since the post-war boom. By ending around 2000, the book invites readers to see the Reagan era not as an endpoint, but as one stage in the continuing evolution of American power and identity. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a broad, interpretive history of the United States after World War II rather than a narrow political narrative or a specialized academic study, students, general readers, and anyone seeking a strong overview of the Cold War era, civil rights, the Great Society, and the rise of modern conservatism will find it especially useful. Its practical value lies in the way it connects domestic change to foreign power, showing how prosperity, military expansion, reform, and backlash were interwoven. That integrated perspective helps readers understand why post-war America developed the way it did and why many of its conflicts remain relevant. What distinguishes it from similar single-volume histories is its organizing idea of empire combined with democratic struggle. Freeman does not treat the United States simply as a republic at home or a superpower abroad, but as a nation shaped by the tension between those identities. The book is concise for its scope, analytically ambitious, and useful as a synthesis of the major forces that defined American life from 1945 to 2000. If you would like to support Joshua Freeman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.